Well, thank you all for coming this morning. It's good to see you. And before we get started, I just want to say a quick prayer for me and for you as we delve into Mark 12 today. So let's say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, first I pray that you would prepare our hearts to hear what you have for us this morning. Also pray, Lord, for me that you would give me your words and help me to give them faithfully. Father, I pray that as we wrestle through these concepts of stewardship, Lord, that you would help us to incorporate them into our lives and to honor you with everything we have. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a story about a little girl who was given 2 1-euro coins by her father. And he told her she could do whatever she wanted with the first euro, but that the second euro was to be given to God at church on Sunday. So the girl nodded in agreement. She was happy with that. And then she asked if she could go to the candy store. She had visions of everything that she could buy with her half of the money. So she happily skipped along to the store, holding tightly to the 2 1-euro coins in her hand. And as she was skipping along, she tripped on a rock and she fell over, and one of the euro coins slipped from her hand. And it rolled along the path and fell into a storm drain, disappearing. So, picking herself up, the little girl looked at the euro coin still in her hand, and then she looked at the storm drain, and she said, "Well, Lord, there goes your money." Sadly, many of us Christians have the same attitude toward money. It's me first, and then God, right? So today we're going to beginning a sermon on a sermon series on stewardship and how God expects us to handle our money. What does a good steward of God's resources look like, and how are we meant to handle the money and possessions that God has blessed us with? To answer this question and to give us a little framework for the next few weeks, I would say that a kingdom steward is a believer who faithfully oversees the protection and expansion of the assets that God has entrusted to him or her to manage. Everything we're given by God, our time, our abilities, our resources, our money, our possessions, they should all fall under God's overarching rule. Finances are only a part of stewardship, but they're a critical part. God wants us to be generous to those around us as he has been generous to us. The Bible has a lot to say about money, and oftentimes people don't like to hear what the Bible has to say about it. And yet, we need to see in the Bible how God wants us to treat money, because as Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Everything God entrusts to us should be used for his purpose and glory. In the New Testament, the Greek term often translated as stewardship or steward is oikonomos or oikonomia, and it refers to someone who manages a household or estate, serving as a guardian or a curator on another's behalf. Since we know that everything we possess is God-given and God-owned, stewardship is simply taking care of God's stuff on his behalf. God provides for us and then expects us to manage that provision in a God-honoring way. I found this quote online from a Christian financial advisor that I wanted to share with you. I thought it was very good. He says, "Very few Christians would argue with the principle that God owns it all. And yet, if we follow that principle to its natural conclusion, there are revolutionary implications. God has the right to whatever he wants, whenever he wants it. It is all his, because an owner has rights, but I as a steward only have responsibilities." With that in mind, as Jason said, we're going to look at several passages of scripture over the next few weeks that teach us about how God views stewardship. Today, we'll be taking a closer look at Mark 12, 41 through 44. This narrative is sometimes called the widow's offering or the widow's mites or the widow's gift. It's a short passage, but there is a lot to unpack here. So if you have your Bibles, or if you want to follow along, if it's up there, it is. Great. Mark 12, 41 through 44. I'll go ahead and read it for us. And he sat down, Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came in and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who were contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Before we unpack this verse, I'd like to back up a little and look at this verse in context. Previous to this in Mark, Jesus is teaching in the temple. He's answering questions from the crowd, which is made up of his followers, the Pharisees and scribes, various other people who were at the temple that day, many of whom were opponents of Jesus. And after a long question and answer session with his opponents, and just before Jesus observes the widow make this offering, he says in Mark 12, 38 through 40, the following: "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes like greetings in the marketplace and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Here Jesus is condemning the wealthy teachers of the law. They walk around in long flowing robes and garments meant to signify their high status. They like to be noticed and greeted as they walk around the marketplace. They expect the best seats at the feasts and in the synagogue, which were the benches at the front of the synagogue nearest the scrolls. Jesus says that they devour widows' houses, which means that they employ various shady financial practices which took advantage of the poor and the vulnerable, leaving them homeless. And this often happened with widows. They make a show of their prayers. Jesus says that these type of people will receive the greater condemnation. Some translations say that they will be punished most severely. And then after making that statement, Jesus went and sat down opposite of the treasury in the temple. Now let me paint a picture for you. Between the court of the Gentiles, where Jesus was, and the court of the women, there was the Gate Beautiful in the temple. And it may be that Jesus retreated to sit quietly there at the Gate Beautiful after the tension of his back and forth in the court of the Gentiles. In the court of the women, there were 13 collection boxes. And they were called the trumpets or the shofar chests. They look similar to that. They were there to collect the contributions for the daily sacrifices and the various expenses of the temple. Of the 13 collection boxes, seven were there for worshipers to deposit their temple tax, and six were there for free will offerings or gifts. A lot of money came into the temple treasury during Passover because increased crowds meant increased money in the coffers. Coins tossed inside this metal trumpet-shaped box would make quite a bit of noise, especially if a rich man unloaded a few coins at a time to attract attention and impress others. You know that sound when someone wins a jackpot on a slot machine at a casino and the coins are hitting that metal tray? It probably sounded similar to that, but without the sirens and the lights. Jesus sat opposite of these offering boxes and watched intently. Many rich people came and threw in large sums of money, making lots of noise as they did so and attracting attention. Then came a poor widow. She quietly and meekly tossed in her two mites into a free will offering box. No one probably even noticed her. She wasn't paying tax, she was giving a gift. The coins that she gave were called a lepta, which literally means a thin one. It was the smallest of all coins around in that time. They were worth less than 1/100th of a denarius, which was the daily wage around that time. No one paid much attention to her meager offering, but Jesus was watching and noticed this gift and was impressed. Jesus calls his disciples over and declares that the widow has given more than all the other gifts combined. Imagine a scale with all the gifts given that day, piles of high denomination coins on one side of the scale, and yet they're all outweighed by a measly pair of copper coins. Then Jesus explains why this was so impressive to him. He says, they gave out of their wealth, referring to the rich givers who came before her. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Jesus' final word is to commend this widow's exemplary devotion to God by her sacrificial gift. Now, first, let me point out, this wasn't one of Jesus' parables. This actually transpired. This happened. Jesus noticed this happen in front of him, and while he was observing the contributions made to the temple that day, and he used it as an object lesson for his disciples. Now, I think it's important to ask ourselves, why is this story recorded here in Mark? And what are we supposed to notice from it? The first thing I want you to see from this passage is that Jesus notices how you give. He watches and notices not only the spirit of our giving, but the way that we do it. He watches and notices whether we're giving out of obligation or bitterness, or are we giving with faith, trust, and joy, knowing that it belongs to God anyway. Are we slowly pouring out the coins into a large metal trumpet so that everyone can hear just how much we give? Or to bring it more up to date, are we telling all of our friends about the size of our gifts or posting it on social media for everyone to see? Or are we giving quietly with no pomp and circumstance as the widow did? Jesus notices our actions and our heart when we give. The widow in this narrative could likely be one of the widows mentioned by Jesus whose house was devoured by the hypocritical and evil teachers of the law. Widows during this time were nobody. They had no social security. This woman likely had to beg on the streets for what little money she had. Like the little girl I mentioned at the beginning, she could have kept one of the coins for herself. The coins were so worthless that it would have made little difference to the temple. But she gave sacrificially, giving all she had. Real giving must be sacrificial. The amount of the gift never matters so much as its cost to the giver. It's not the size of the gift, but the sacrifice that matters most to God. This sacrifice of the widow shows us a little about her walk with God. She gave all that she had to live on and didn't hold anything back from God. And with nothing left, she relied on God's mercy and provision to sustain her. She gave away everything she had to show her faith in her God and her trust in his provision. She trusted God to care for her. Jesus wanted his disciples to see this lesson in total surrender of self, complete commitment to God, and a willingness to trust in God's care. The second thing I want you to notice is the two different types of givers in this narrative. We've already talked about the widow, but there are also the rich contributors who are giving out of their abundance. While they might be giving lots of money to the temple, they're holding back even more money for themselves. Remember the story of the rich young man in Matthew 19, 16 through 22? To remind you, he runs up to Jesus and he asks, "What good deed must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answers that if he wants to enter life, he must keep the commandments. The young man says that he follows the commandments already, and Jesus pushes him further. "If you would be perfect," he says, "go and sell what you own and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." But if you remember the story, the rich young man went away sad because he had great wealth. You see, wealthy people often put their security and their faith in their wealth. They would never give away all that they had. That would be frivolous in their minds. No, their mind is often on themselves, and their wealth is more precious to them than anything. And we can be that way too. Humanity has a propensity to be self-centered. It's a bad habit that must be broken. When God gives us wealth or possessions, our first thought shouldn't be, how can this benefit me? But rather, how can I use this for God's glory? I also want you to notice here in this text that God notices your situation. Jesus notices the widow and knew that she had given all she had. How did she know this? the verse doesn't say whether they had met previously or if they had ever spoken at all. He may have been able to decipher some things based on her appearance, but my thought is that Jesus knew her financial situation because God used the Holy Spirit to reveal it to him. God is omniscient. He knows what everyone is going through. It would be easy for us when we are going through challenging situations to wonder, does God see me at all? Is God aware of what I'm going through? Does he see my suffering? And the answer to that is, he knows and he sees. Whatever you may experience in this life, never accept the notion that God isn't aware of your circumstances. He knows us intimately. Lastly, as the widow gave everything she had and Jesus was impressed with her gift, I want you to notice that giving your all impresses God more than just giving a lot. In giving everything she had, the widow was showing great devotion to God and faith in God's care. This is what God desires from us. God wants all of you, not just a lot of you. First, he wants us. He wants our hearts and our minds. And then he wants us to acknowledge that everything that we have is his, to the point that there is nothing that we wouldn't be willing to part with if he asked it of us. We just finished reading Genesis. Abraham was willing to part with his only son, Isaac, the one with whom the blessing of God was coming, the one that he was gifted at a very early age or a very old age. Isaac was his miracle baby, and yet he was willing to sacrifice Isaac because God asked him of it. Now, thankfully, it didn't come to that, but that's faith. That's a willingness to give sacrificially. Everything in the Bible points us to Jesus. In the story we just read, Jesus highlights the widow's sacrifice to show what true giving looks like, which goes beyond just the amount of money given. This story reflects Jesus' own life and ministry, where he consistently emphasized the importance of the heart's intentions over outward appearances. It demonstrates how Jesus values sincere devotion and sacrificial giving, and this points us to Jesus' ultimate sacrifice for us on the cross. As the hymn states, Jesus gave it all to him I owe. The widow's trust in God's provision is also a great example that aligns perfectly with Jesus' teachings about faith and dependence on God. Throughout his ministry, Jesus encouraged his followers to trust God completely and not to worry about their material needs. The widow's act of giving everything she had, holding nothing back, is a testament to her deep faith and reliance on God. This mirrors Jesus' call for his disciples to place their trust in God's care and provision, as seen in his teachings from the Sermon on the Mount. And then lastly, this story highlights Jesus' compassion and care for those who are marginalized and vulnerable. By drawing attention to the widow's offering, Jesus acknowledges and honors her. Despite her low social and economic status, this act showcases Jesus' message that the kingdom of God is open to everyone, regardless of their worldly circumstances. It serves as a reminder that Jesus came to uplift the humble and the oppressed, and to offer hope and salvation to everyone, especially those who are often overlooked by society. The stories in the Bible serve a greater purpose than just mere entertainment, yeah? They're recorded to teach us about God's character, his values, and the principles we should embody as we strive to become more like Jesus. With that understanding, let's explore what we can learn and apply from these verses today. First and foremost, it's crucial to cultivate a generous heart. The story of the widow's offering challenges us to rethink what true generosity looks like in our lives. It's not about the size of the gift, but the love and the sacrifice behind it. This week, I encourage you to make a deliberate effort to give sacrificially. Whether it's offering your time, sharing your talents, providing financial support, or anything, remember to do it with a joyful heart. Let this act of generosity transform you and reflect the heart of God in your actions. By embracing these teachings, we not only align ourselves with God's values, but also inspire others to do the same. Together, we can create a community grounded in love, sacrifice, and steadfast trust in God. Second, prioritize sacrificial giving. The poor widow in this story serves as a powerful example of what it means to give beyond your comfort zone. She gave all she had, demonstrating deep trust in God and unshakable commitment to Him. Sacrificial giving honors Christ regardless of the size of the offering. Notice that the widow had two coins. As I said before, she could have kept one for herself, like the little girl did at the beginning, but she chose to give both. This act of sacrificial giving shows that she held nothing back. Despite the small monetary value, the sacrifice was immense. Her giving was not about the amount, but the depth of her trust and faith. Reflect on your own life. Are there areas where you can practice sacrificial giving? It might be your time, your talents, your resources. Challenge yourselves to give in a way that stretches your faith and deepens your reliance on God. This week, identify a specific area where you can give sacrificially and then take a concrete step towards that. Let this act of giving transform your heart and draw you closer to God. By embracing sacrificial giving, we honor Christ and reflect His love to those around us. Let's follow the widow's example and trust God with everything we have. Third, trust God with your whole life. The widow's trust in God's provision stands as a powerful example of strong faith. Reflect on areas in your life where you might be struggling to fully trust God. Is there something you're holding on to tightly, afraid to let it go? This week, I encourage you to take a step of faith by entrusting this to God. Then pray about this and ask God to help you release control and place your trust in God's care for you. Additionally, ask God to reveal how He wants you to contribute to His kingdom. Sometimes there might be opportunities for generosity that we aren't even aware of. Take time in prayer to seek God's guidance on how you can give, whether it's financially or through other means. Be open to His leading and trust that He will show you the way. By practicing trust in God, you'll not only experience a deeper relationship with God, but also witness the incredible ways that He can work through your life. Let the widow's example inspire you to live with a faith that embraces God's faithfulness wholeheartedly. So as we wrap up today, let's think about the widow's offering in Mark 12. Jesus watched as people gave their donations at the temple. Many rich folks threw in large amounts, but what really moved Him was the poor widow who put in just two small coins. To others, her gift might have seemed insignificant, but Jesus saw it differently. He knew that she had given everything she had, holding nothing back. This story challenges us to rethink our own approach to giving, not just financially, although that's a part of it, but in all areas of our lives. It's not about how much we give, but the heart behind it. Are we willing to give selflessly, even when it costs us everything? Are we ready to trust God with our resources, believing that He sees and values our acts of love and sacrifice, no matter how small? Let this story inspire you to live lives of generous faith. Let's not give for recognition or applause, but from a place of deep gratitude and trust in God's provision. By doing so, we mirror the love and grace of Jesus who gave His all for us. May we continue to follow His example, knowing that our Heavenly Father cherishes every gift given in faith and love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You with thankful hearts. Just like the widow who gave everything she had out of love and faith, help us to give our gifts with the same spirit of generosity. Teach us to not teach us to give not for recognition, but out of trust in your care for us. Let our lives reflect the love and grace of Jesus, who gave everything for us. Help us be generous in all that we do, knowing that every act of love, no matter how small, matters to you. Strengthen our faith and inspire us to live each day with hearts full of gratitude and generosity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.